You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening.
Letting the body feel itself here. In some ways at one with the soundscape landscape. Perhaps it's possible to have a feeling of being welcome. Just ordinary, the body on the ground and the air flowing in and out. The body making itself of food, water, air, sunshine, like all these other creatures. So maybe there's a sense of the physics of just the matter, the ordinary matter. There's gravity. And some movement. And then also biology. Organic matter and movement. And then maybe some sense of something that's also alive, but not just biological, some living quality, perhaps. Perhaps just now on this morning, an ordinary day, in the midst of ordinary life, a sense of some living quality that's not quite going to die when the body dies. Maybe. So letting the body maybe feel itself. Maybe it's interesting to feel for a while the back of the body. Maybe as if there were friendly and safe and supportive hands on the back of the body. Helping it to come back to life. To be as alive as the front. Maybe just feeling for a while the waves, that movement and momentum of breathing in the back. The back is breathing and coming alive in its own way. It doesn't need to be a certain way that the waves move through the back. And maybe sometimes we could already catch ourselves getting caught up in needing it to be a certain way. And just feeling the poverty of that approach. Feeling we need things to be a certain way so that we can be okay or here or happy or enlightened or whatever. And maybe just briefly feeling in the flesh, in the body, in the cells, how it feels when we really believe we need things to be a certain way. The breath should be smooth or light or long or whatever. The back should be more relaxed or whatever. Just feeling that sense of needing it and wanting to control it, to make it be how it's supposed to be. Feeling that kind of poison or cramp in the system. And meanwhile, it is as it is, fully in its fullness. Like the weather, like the time of day, it is as it is. And the sense of needing things to be a certain way could just be like we have a cramp in the leg, the muscles got contracted and it hurts. That's all. And how would it be if, is there a sense of possibly resting into the back? As if the back is a really comfortable place to lie down, or the back is in or on your favorite place. Releasing in the front of the body a little bit, maybe. Being held by the earth. Welcome as it is, all of it, and within all of this messy and aching and beautiful life. Maybe encouraging that sense of resting back or down or in, or down, in, and back. Maybe opening to feeling the breath in the whole of the body, wherever it goes, wherever those waves of movement from breathing happen. And the sort of tent or sail of the diaphragm is just moving in the wind and pulling on everything. Massaging everything. And we don't know how, but something receives and feels. Minutely, so in tiny detail. This. Something in our wide mind receives this kind of flow of experience, as if a flow of experience. We can't catch it. But the way we can receive and feel this just now breath in our whole body. The amount of detail that we receive is the kind of detail that we receive when we're in love. And so just feeling how close, just receiving the sensations of breathing, how close that is to loving. And when we notice when the need for things to be a certain way comes in and starts to grip, starts to contract us, and we practice letting that go, letting that melt, letting that fall away, or just be noticed as something that's happening, there can be not only this really precise detail that we're receiving of temperature, texture, movement, speed, quality of movement, relationships of movements, but maybe there's also some kind of space where there can be kindness that's just life's kindness. Or just non-bitterness, non-grudge, non-resentment. Non-negativity. Just some room for living. Some room for closeness, for coming really inside our what we're feeling just now. And sometimes we have a habit when we think of myself as meditating to impose a kind of dryness or seriousness. We accidentally repress a certain kind of joy, lightness, sensuality. That are actually in our free experience. They're actually in it. And so playing with letting whatever you're feeling just now be allowed to open itself to you as fully alive and juicy. And especially feeling allowed to be fully inside the breathing experience in the body. And sometimes it's exactly that feeling allowed to be fully in, that in itself is pleasurable and fulfilling. Whatever the actual sensation is, matters less. And how fully inside we are, fully with or in this living sensation of now. Just the breathing happening, and here we are in it. Sometimes with resting, practicing meditation through resting deeply. Sometimes we can allow a lot of space for the mind to get what we think of as spaced out or dreamy, uncontrolled. And yes, of course, many times habits and programming will come in and take over. And yet I feel it's worth the risk of leaving that much openness, and at the same time gently gathering, perhaps in the lower abdomen, in the lower belly, or where you feel good. Not so much gathering attention, me paying attention to my belly or feet or back or contact with the ground, but the belly kind of gathering itself together and feeling itself. Without necessarily a hard line of where does belly end and begin. So it can be an openness to being in a space where there are sounds and other people, ground, air, the whole body, and still happily kind of being gathered into the lower abdomen, for example. Kind of like resting into the floor of the ocean or the sea. And all that is happening way up there, the thoughts, the sounds, the world, so-called. Not really separate, but way up there, there are the waves, naturally. The mind just following its training to be busy, to be reactive, to be defensive, to attack, to push, to pull, to shut down. And meanwhile, also way down here, resting on the bottom of the ocean floor, as if the sand just kind of pulling itself together into a little ripple or a mound of sand. A little spot or place of sort of warmth, receptivity. Quietly, the ear to the ground listening to life. For now, just through this perhaps one place in the body. But not blocking out all the rest, letting it go on, letting it be there, perhaps. So maybe letting the world be whatever it's being. And noticing when that cramp happens of feeling, experiencing that I need it to be different. Feeling that poison, that contraction, as just another happening. But not necessarily to believe that you do need things to be different. And anyway, what else? The lower belly, or wherever you are. But the lower belly as a living flow of sensation. Some easy to feel, some very subtle sensations, feelings. Not separate from all of that life going on. And maybe the more resting back, playing with how little needs to be done. And still, here's belly like a small candle, feeding itself, the belly feeling itself, the living living itself. Simply, just so ordinary. Who would like to ask or share something?
My mind is so unquiet.
Unquiet.
Mm-hmm. Sharing.
So he's just saying, I'm just sharing, my mind is so unquiet. And he's smiling.
What can I do?
What can I do? There's a Pema Chodron quote that I love, something like, why not give yourself the gift of giving up on finding a cure for hot and cold? And we could include a longer list, hot, cold, unquiet, quiet, or unquiet, boring maybe. And I think with unquiet or blank, boring, in terms of inner world, mind state, maybe a deeper acceptance of how much unquiet and boring blank are part of some other process, usually. Hard to bear, but easier to bear when I'm not also against unquietness. It still is unpleasant. It's sort of, but maybe hanging out down more by the roots of unquiet mind than on the surface of unquiet mind, trying to lasso the wild horse, but hanging out where eventually unquiet mind comes back home. And also, especially at the beginning of a retreat, and for some people also the beginning of an adventure that's longer than the retreat. In one Indian story, there's this big project, and the gods and the demons decide they need to churn the ocean to bring the treasures back up after the flood. And they're using a huge snake to churn the ocean. So a story about a flood. There was also a flood in India, according to this story. And all the treasures were washed to the bottom of the sea. And it was hard to find a way to get them back, to get the treasures back. And so the gods alone couldn't do it. The demons alone couldn't do it. So the gods and the demons worked together. So to churn the ocean the way you make butter, or maybe you don't, but people used to make butter with a rope to turn the churn in the cream. So they're churning the ocean using a mountain and a snake. And that forcing on the snake for a good reason, to kind of bring up the treasures from the bottom of the ocean. The first thing that happens is the venom coming out of the snake. That's the first thing. So it's easy to feel like we're going backwards or we've lost our way because there's venom. The mind is unquiet, agitation, hatred, resentment, old stories, new, fresh, ouch, etc. And maybe we're on the brink, we're on the beginning of yet again, not the first time. finding a way to work with what seems positive and negative, what seems high and what seems low, that they have to find a way of cooperating, which means we can find enough room for it all, and they start to move in a way that brings the treasures up, excavating. But the first, once we get like, oh, here's enough room for everything, but then actually it's not like, ah. Yuck. I want to throw up.
It's Trisha in German. Trisha in German.
Any other word? Okay. A question or sharing?
Yes. In this sitting, dreams came up for me, a lot of past visions of past dreams and recurring dreams that I have. Mm-hmm. I felt they were just coming in waves for
yeah.
me. Yeah.
No problem.
Common?
Yes, not only common, but let's let it integrate it as. Or let's take the assumption that it's an integrated part of a process that's happening, that's natural. And let's not make anything more of it. It can happen that some sort of insight comes to you.
Could you repeat the question?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. In this last meditation, memories of dreams, including recurring dreams, kept coming in waves. Is that common? Let's say yes, so common.
I'm just feeling a little bit of tension because the last two retreats have been on these 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm feeling there's not enough time for me to go in
yeah.
to something deep. How can I be comfortable with it?
So we've had the luxury in the past of 2 weeks, whoever could manage to come for 2 weeks, or it used to be 30 days here, 3 10-day retreats. And gradually my kids' school and also other factors, here we have only 7 days. So we used to come and kind of install ourselves, and now we're just between flights almost, between trains, between buses. So that can be a helpful metaphor. Pundit used to say, the whole life is just the waiting room. We're just in the waiting room. And simply, you're noticing that the tension is there. I repeated the question, right? Did I? Yeah. Her question is, how do I deal with this tension of not having 2 weeks but only 7 days? How could I possibly go deep enough in only 7 days? So some of you are like, oh. 7 days, 7 centuries, might as well be. I remember my first few retreats, every sort of maybe few hours or more frequently counting how many hours left today, how many days left. And I was always confused by this, which one was day one and which one is day seven. So we're on day one, by the way. Yesterday's day zero, we start with nothingness. It can be a good time pass in the waiting room. How many hours do I calculate? And then maybe feeling also where that comes from, lower down. What does it give me to have a number? 3 hours left before lunch or whatever. I'm not saying that's true. I don't know. I think trust your process, that it's a mysterious thing. Even some of you might have noticed before even arriving here or before the retreat officially technically began, your retreat began. So there were maybe some kind of heightened sensitivity, reactivity, illness, something going wrong, something breaking unexpectedly, whatever. Sometimes that can be taken as part of retreat, which just means maybe what we call the unconscious mind, a wider mind, knows and agrees to undergo a deepening. And that wider mind understands that the retreat ends that day. And so sometimes we have a longer time, and in a way the wider mind is like, oh, okay, we have a long time. Let's not quite get all the way in yet. And here it's like, shoo. So I already posted a list of what I call the five signs of breakthrough and what Gautama Buddha called the five hindrances. And it's a little bit like the venom thing. What comes out, and when we start to submit to it, we start to agree to undergo a deepening, a refining, a transformation, opening. What happens, part of it is, we can call it a contraction, or this venom starts to come out, and what do we do with it? It's venom. Suddenly, we hate whatever, or we've got to have whatever, or we're so spaced out. Whenever we start to feel like we're getting on track, whoa, what was that? Or so restless, or so full of doubt. And if we can actually notice, even we can feel the past experience, that is part of deepening. It's not separate from deepening. It's not away from deepening. It's part of going more in to the heart of life. So it's not as if we could, we don't have the control panel for depth, but something in us has agreed. And it seems to calibrate to what the number of days. So meanwhile, okay, tension, thinking, worry, where's the root of that now? How does that feel? What else is happening? Also, sometimes on retreat, there's just simply a kind of heightened energy, sort of, we can say, available. And being in an environment of heightened energy, sometimes, if I can use weird language again, our system translates that as anxiety or fear or unsettledness or unrested unquietness. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's actually part of a process of accustoming, getting accustomed to actually higher, more energy available. It's in a more subtle form, but it can activate these really noticeable mind states and body states. And so is that common? Yes. It's more than common, it's unavoidable. And when we're okay with that, like the body to digest food, to pass that food through our system, contraction, release, contraction, release, contraction, release, all the way through. From swallowing to shitting and peeing and in between. Contraction, release. We don't know how, how do I swallow? But we do know. We're able to swallow. And similarly with these other kinds of digestion, contraction, release, it's natural. It comes to us naturally. And also the releasing of the interference in that contraction release process, the releasing of what gets in the way, what puts pressure on the natural contraction and release, that releasing of interference is also natural. And that's really what meditation is letting what's extra fall away, being left with what is actually nothing, which leaves room for everything. So the practicing of realizing, oh, this difficulty around only 7 days, she can feel that this is extra, and it's just this little, oh yeah, right, it's just extra, but I can also just feel it. The feeling of it is another place. And then, okay, natural process. Let's just go into walking a little bit. Some suggestions for walking meditation. sometimes it's really noticeable how different it is to be in a different posture, to be standing. And other times we might invite that, a sense of wonder that this is even possible. It's ridiculous, all of this whole body on these two little things. And even of the two little things, however big your feet are, they're small compared to everything. A lot of those feet are actually not in contact with the ground either. So just so little is actually down there on the ground. And so it can be interesting also now and also during your walking meditation on your own. We'll go out of the hall and each find a place for walking in a few minutes. It can be really helpful to pause and just maybe with the eyes closed and the feet apart, playing with weight, heaviness, gravity. Almost like we have some, maybe a big water balloon or two, and we're tossing them from right to left, or pouring water, like the irrigation channels here. We could even pour water front to back, just letting the weight pour towards the heels, towards one side, towards the front. Letting the feet also wake up towards the other side. And so in a way, it's that simple. Finding a place to walk in the most nothing extra kind of way. So back and forth or in a circle somewhere. Whatever pace feels helpful for connecting. Fast or slow or in between. Letting the body walk. That is right there is already walking meditation. And gradually we could start to feel where might be a good place to kind of rest in awareness, which could be the feet, could be the whole body, lower belly, back of the body. So it could just be lower belly here and in walking. The body knows how to walk, letting it. And just resting gathered in the lower belly with awareness. It's normal if you go really, really slowly sometimes that it can be hard to balance, but it's fine. It can be worthwhile. Sometimes if you feel like really, really slow motion, and it can help us wake up to how different each little part, every little sensation has its sort of personality or character. Putting the foot just reaches the ground, just before that is different. Just touching the ground and then coming more into the ground. Every part of it has a different quality. And so then there can be a tension between, we start to get uptight, trying to feel every little bit, and then just loosening and remembering already, we know how to walk and the body can feel itself. And we just let our mind open to how much information is already coming in. And letting it be delicious sometimes. Being that open and intimate with the sensations is like loving. So it's like letting the feet be loving the earth loving the feet. And just leaving room for mystery. Noticing the difference between my image or idea or expectation of the next step and the actual occurrence.
which is like pouring water rather than a thing. Something definitely is going on, but we can't catch and keep it. And feeling really deeply where our alarm system sometimes is on because experience is ungraspable. And if we can start to feel, yeah, it's ungraspable, and we don't need it to be graspable. Does that make sense? The fact that the sensations arrive and leave apart from what we are thinking about them or want them to do or whatever, that it's not in our control, maybe is not a problem. And this is sort of a root of our freedom and suffering. So with walking, especially in a place where we are the guests of the cobras, mostly you'll have your eyes open. And having eyes open, we see not only cobras, but those even more difficult creatures called human beings. And getting to feel the reaction inside when another person comes into view. And if we look up to them or down, etc., we feel scared or we feel open. So just feeling that in the body and letting that be included. And meanwhile, there's feet or belly walking. So not to kind of try to wipe out as if you are in a bubble, all those people. And especially, it's not even so much the people, but our reactions, the programming about people, safe, unsafe, etc. And feeling it, not necessarily that's the main sort of object or subject. And then, ready. Okay, there's all that, and there's the belly or the feet, and this mystery. And with walking, it's so lovely, just this literal reminder of stepping into now. So please feel free, enjoy. Also feel free anytime to stay in the hall for continued practice in stillness. Just being aware of the meditation. Sometimes if you stay on lying down through this meditation, then you need to decide, are you staying through the whole next meditation? Or do you need to go walk during that meditation? So people aren't coming in and out during a scheduled meditation. Does that make sense? We're really keeping for the silence, not coming in and out during a meditation.